From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, the joining of science and spirit with Dr. Charles Tart. Here's what's happening. Well, we may have, you know, missed a bullet on the unfortunate situation with the debt crisis, but the stock market sure took it on the chin today. The Dow Jones plunging 513 points, the worst drop since 2008. Everybody's a little concerned about this, and they just don't know what's going on. Investors are increasingly concerned about the possibility of another recession right here in the United States and a debt crisis now in Europe as well. In a moment, we're going to talk with an astrologer, Linda Sherman, about all of this and see what the stars and the planets have to say. Well, get ready for this. Embrace yourself. A near X-class solar flare, and X-class, by the way, is as big as it gets, that erupted on the sun on August 3rd has sent a powerful coronal mass ejection toward the Earth, which has now overtaken two previous CMEs, combined with them into a super solar flare. And they believe this combined triple CME will reach the Earth around 6 a.m. Pacific time on August 5th. That's Friday morning. Give or take a 7-hour window. What will happen? No physical danger for you, so don't panic about that. But you may have problems with your cell phone. Satellites may have problems. We'll see what happens. On average, 11 named storms strike the Atlantic basin each year, 6 of which become hurricanes and 2 major hurricanes with winds exceeding 111 miles an hour. In May, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said there was a 65% chance that the hurricane season this year, which began on June 1st, would be above average. It predicted 12 to 18 named storms, 6 to 10 hurricanes. With the bulk of the storm activity normally in August, September, October, the agency now has updated its 2011 hurricane outlook, and now they say there's an 85% chance of above-average hurricane activity. Predicted storm numbers have now been raised to 14 to 19 named storms, 7 to 10 hurricanes, and as many as 5 major hurricanes over the next 2.5 months. Summertime on Mars is bringing water to the planet's surface, suggesting that NASA scientists are saying, you know what? Something's going on there. In the sun-facing sides of the crater walls, they are now seeing flowing, briny water. Charles Schultz, well, he knows all about Mars, and let's pull him in on this one. Doesn't briny water, Charles, mean the possibility of life?
Well, it certainly does. Most of the life on Earth exists in the briny water known as our oceans, and so that's a very good possibility the way we see it right now.
So what's happening on Mars right now, Charles?
Well, from what they can see, the sunrise is heating up the soil enough to melt underground flows or cause subsurface water to move around. So they can see that these streaks that are being created as the seasons get warmer, they get longer. And as the streaks are shorter, it corresponds with colder seasons. So what they can see from the moment is at least 7 areas they've examined show these sorts of streaks, and there may be 20 to 30 more areas that also carry them. They're still doing the research. There's a fellow by the name of Alfred McEwen, who was a lead researcher, and his team used the high-rise camera on the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter to make the findings.
Years ago, didn't astronomer Lowell, didn't he see canals on Mars?
Well, you know, what he saw were features that would be millions of times larger than these streaks. So it was an interesting optical illusion that he saw. He wasn't actually seeing them, but it was convincing enough that many other researchers claimed to see them as well at the time.
All right, very good. Charles, thank you. Sir Charles Schultz, notorious serial killer Ted Bundy, confessed to more than 30 murders before he was sent to Florida's electric chair in 1989. But experts have always believed that there were more murders. Now investigators across the country are hoping that a vial of Bundy's blood, kept as part of a case record, will prove or disprove his involvement in cold cases dating back as far as 1961. Bundy's blood, recovered from an evidence lab in Columbia County, Florida, will be entered into the FBI's combined DNA index system on Friday. Investigators say it's a major milestone in a decades-long search for evidence to complete the killer's profile. A number of bodies disappearing during Bundy's era in regions where he was known to have lived. Well, the FDA apparently knew 2 weeks before they issued a recall on Cargill's 36 million pounds of ground turkey. What took them so long? The turkey's linked to a nationwide salmonella outbreak that has killed one person in California, sickened at least 76 others. Illnesses in the outbreak date back to March and have been reported in 26 states, coast to coast. Jeff Nelkin, food safety expert with us. Jeff, what took them so long? 2 weeks?
Well, you know, what's a little bit more shocking than the 2 weeks is that, you know, this goes back maybe about 4 months when they started having these little blips on the radar, but they just didn't put it together. So people are a little bit on the outraged feelings that, you know, there should have been a much faster response.
I think so, too. And, of course, your tip has always been cook, cook, cook your food.
Well, again, we want to remind everybody, you know, if they think they have any of these samples around, that they, you know, can go to the USDA hotline and they can check to verify their products that they may have in the freezer. And if they certainly feel that they're ill, they should certainly call, you know, their physicians. Because there's going to be more reactions to the situation.
What's new at foodsafetycoach.com, Jeff?
You're going to be hearing a little bit in the news tonight about in L.A., for example, that there are some issues about
unpasteurized stuff.
Cheese products that are being made in people's homes and in locations that are not verified by the health department, and the story is breaking as we speak, and you'll be seeing more on the news over the next 2-3 days.
Okay, Jeff Nelkin, thank you so much. A BBC sports reporter says he saw a disc-shaped UFO circling above a field as he traveled to work early in the morning. Mike Sewell was driving by an airport when he claims he saw the disc-shaped craft zipping over the countryside in the wee hours. Speaking on Radio 5 Live out there, he said he was shocked when he saw the odd flashing lights just a few hundred yards from the road.
I'm flying out of Stansted Airport this morning, and I live in the Midlands, so I was driving east, cross-country, and I was probably, I think it's about 15, 20 miles from Stansted Airport. I was out in the countryside, 4:15 in the morning, and I saw this big, bright light in the sky and what looked like an aircraft coming towards, or descending towards the road, which I was driving. And as it got closer, it then banked to the left, what was to my right. And then as it banked to the left and went across the countryside, I could see underneath, and it wasn't an aeroplane, and it wasn't a helicopter, and it was much bigger than a helicopter, probably the size of an aircraft, but it was certainly of a kind of, I dread saying this, disc-shaped, because it had several lights flashing all around it, and underneath there were at least two, large panel lights, soft white lights underneath, and then it just sat or just circled a certain area above the field for a few moments. I was so gobsmacked. I was trying to negotiate the road, which was a small country lane, and then eventually I dropped down and lost sight of it. But for 2 or 3 minutes, I saw what I think was not a normal aircraft.
These incredible reports are all over the planet. In a moment, astrologer Linda Sherman joins us. We're going to talk about the debt crisis and some other issues through the eyes of an astrologer. She's next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go. Hold on to your chairs. Linda Sherman has had a private practice in astrology for more than 37 years, serving as an international clientele that includes corporations, financial service companies, private individuals. Linda, currently editor, publisher of the online newsletter, The Soothsayer. She is also a longtime member of the National Council for Geocosmetic Research, which happens to be a worldwide astrology organization. And here she is back on Coast to Coast. Hey, Linda, how are you?
Well, I'm doing fine, thank you. I had nothing invested in the stock market today.
That's a good thing, isn't it? Did you see this coming?
Well, I did. The problem with forecasting exact days of stock market crashes and everything is that the system is so controlled by a handful of what I call the global banksters.
Sure.
That it's very hard. But I mentioned on my newsletter we'd have wild fluctuations this month. Mercury went retrograde is opposed to Neptune, and that Mercury retrograde in its opposition to Neptune is going to be around for a while. So they lost control, essentially, with the Europe going down in flames, many of the European countries going under, and the ridiculous, disgraceful behavior of our Congress. It's trying to completely take apart the infrastructure of the United States. In a kind of collective insanity. A combination of things was there. The statistics on unemployment, as you know, the gap between Wall Street and Main Street is the size of the Grand Canyon. People are standing in lines. We have real unemployment of over 22% and going up in this country. So it isn't surprising that finally reality came along, and they lost their control, and we had one of the record-breaking crashes on Wall Street. But we have been headed down anyway. Gold hit, this week reached all-time highs.
Sure did.
And although it did
went back a little bit today. Yeah.
It pulled back a little bit because everything pulled back.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I think the market's going to go down again tomorrow. It's Friday. These brokers want to go home and just hit the local pub because they're fed up, they're stressed. And I just have a feeling people are going to say, sell, sell, sell. So we may see another 100, 200-point drop. What do you think?
I agree with you, George. I absolutely agree with you. Everything that you said.
How much pressure on the economy, Linda? The wars in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Oh, this is the insanity of our policy. Right now, half of our tax dollars go to these wars. We talk about obliterating Social Security and Medicare, which is the system we all paid into, and was, by the way, as I've spoken recently in my most recent newsletter, has been looted for years to pay for these wars that have been ongoing for a long time. But this is outstandingly ridiculous. The black hole war in Afghanistan. We still have 50,000 troops in Iraq.
Well, we would have been in Afghanistan now. 10 years in October. Ten years.
The longest war in our history.
9 years in Iraq in March of next year.
And it makes zero sense. Zero sense. Nobody knows why we're there. You can't. While we had the maximum amount of troops recently, there's been a whole array of assassinations right in their capital, major people in their government. I mean, suicide bombers, everything. We need to pull out. We need to. I said several newsletters along when Osama bin Laden was captured in my May newsletter that we were going to have a shift in creating special ops forces to go in and take out Al-Qaeda leaders and terrorists. And, of course, it was that month.
And let me tell you, it's cheaper, Linda. It's cheaper to do it that way, isn't it?
Exactly. This is what we need to have is we need to target. That was a very effective operation and should be a lesson. We shouldn't be having over 100,000 troops in Afghanistan. Instead, we should be using these methodologies. And Al-Qaeda has kind of been defanged anyway.
Well, let me ask you a question before we get into the astrology behind all of this, Linda. We help out a lot of nations. We give billions of dollars in aid. How can we continue to do that when we're struggling back home?
Well, I agree with you. I don't think that we can. I mean, we have been, we are really in absolutely desperate circumstances here. Our entire infrastructure of this nation is falling apart. Where in China and other places, they're building super infrastructure projects and everything. Over here, we're actually deconstructing America, as I am fond to say. But this, no, I don't believe that we can continue with these packages. We should, as a great nation, be helping other nations. But very often it has to do with military strategies, and it has to do with bargains made in hell with people. I mean, we were in bed with the Mubarak. How much did we contribute to the Mubarak regime in Egypt?
And now he's in court. Yeah, he's in court in a cage.
Yes, exactly.
On his back in bed. Unbelievable. Well, tell me about astrology, Linda. How does it fit into all of this? How does it work?
Well, astrology, basically, astrologers study the planets in the solar system in relationship to constellations. We have a system by which we observe where these planetary placements are and how they have in the past lined up with significant events in history. And this way we can forecast types of events which will occur. Like in my book, What Next? Survival Guide to the 21st Century, I pointed out that we would be going through exactly this at this time, because the last time Pluto was squared to Uranus in cardinal signs was in the Great Depression of the 1930s. That I felt we were also, and I think this is highly important, we're in a revolutionary period. The last time I was on your show, I talked about that, which I think the revolutions that are occurring in the Middle East we're going to have one here.
Well, help me here, though. How do the planetary alignments or the alignments of the constellations, whatever you use as a tool, how does that either tell you what could happen or affect what might happen?
You know, we don't know whether this is a cause and effect. The model that we have of reality and the universe as a whole, to me, is I always have an open mind about that. We really do not know anything that is physically or mechanically measurable at this time that we can point to other than the tides of the moon and certain things. But what we do know is, as we have studied history and looked at planetary alignments from the past, what has tended to happen to the leading cultures and civilizations on this planet when those alignments were there. The last time Pluto transited Capricorn, the last two times, first in the mid-1500s, was the Protestant Reformation that overthrew the power and lock on power that the Catholic Church had in Europe. Then the most recent time was the American Revolution began under Pluto's transit in Capricorn. So I was predicting upsets, and of course we know about the scandals in the Catholic Church, but that we were also going to look at the corruption in religion and religious organizations, another Reformation, and that we were going to have a second American Revolution. So you see how this works. The Pluto square Uranus and Aries coincided with the Great Depression. The Pluto transit in Capricorn has coincided with these revolutionary times. So I'm feeling in this period that we would have a Great Depression. We also have Neptune going into Pisces, which to me gives me some hope, because the Neptune transit in Pisces is already there. It's retrograding back into Aquarius until February, and then it will be there through 2019.
But did you say some help? We're going to get some help and hope?
I really do, and it's interesting, your other guest who's on, I believe that gateways of real spiritual understanding are going to open during this transit, that spirituality and science are going to be coming together in a very interesting way, that we're going to view ourselves in the universe differently. We're going to see ourselves as a one substance, in a sense. There's going to be a new framework for consciousness that develops over this time, and we're going to become, instead of the recent years where there's been a ruthless selfishness and greed that has occupied especially the people in charge, we don't have really healthy free market capitalism. We have a plutocracy, to borrow an astrological term, where a handful of super rich people control the world, buy out the governments, and are involved with the military industrial complex as well. The military and these giant corporate banksters and people like this control things, this is going to end.
It's their game, and let's hope it ends. Linda, let's come back and get some of your astrological predictions in a moment. Plus, we'll take some phone calls with you. Linda Sherman, our guest, the astrologer. Soothsayer.com is her website. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, Dr. Charles Tart joins us as we talk about science and spirit. I'm going to see how Charles puts it both together. And when we come back in just a moment with the astrologer Linda Sherman, we'll take your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Linda Sherman. We'll take your phone calls as well on Coast to Coast AM. Linda, what do you see in the future?
Well, we talk about the immediate future. Things, I think, are we have huge, huge issues and crises from major climate change catastrophes to volcanoes and earthquakes, which we've had nothing, of course, to do with the results of drilling and fracking and everything for fossil fuel. But most of all, we have a global economic depression that is going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And I have said to people, it does, you know, you can handle this if you have the right attitude and you position yourself well. So my recommendations to people in order to handle these things is, first of all, band together with your families and friends and become more community-minded. Think about growing local organic gardens and set up local community situations in which you are more interactive and supportive of each other. I think this is extremely important. The other thing is to realize it will end. I feel it's going to be a while before the cycle that I see with the planets lining up show a coming together, and I think we will in the 2020s. We'll come together. We will have changed our nation, our government, our economic system to be much more egalitarian and inclusive than it is today. I think that many of the guys who did this to us are going to go down with everybody else, that it's not just a matter of all the sad situations with people losing their jobs mm-hmm. and houses. I feel the guys at the top are going to take the hit. But in the meantime, it's really important that we come together and start to envision a new way of life. We've got to reframe the way we are living at the grassroots level. And I feel that that's starting to happen. I feel that next year is the beginning of, I think, the formation of a new political party.
Well, I think you're right. Long overdue, by the way, Linda.
Yes, and it's not the Tea Party, which is financed, again, by the billionaire Koch brothers. It's not this kind of thing. Again, the attempt of the cabal to control politics. I think it's going to be a grassroots party because people are so fed up with the Republicans and the Democrats that it seems as if they're on the side of the same people, the upper 2% in income on both sides.
But can the average person beat this industrial military complex?
Yes, eventually. Partly because it's going to take itself down. When people are like this, inevitably, historically, they all get into fights with each other. I think that eventually the system will take itself down. The problem is, as you say, ordinary people, what can we do? We can change the way we live at the grassroots. We can go to the polls and vote. We can organize ourselves to on a local basis and then on a national basis, which America has been famous for in the past. And with Pluto squared to Uranus, I think there's a lot of young people that are going to start doing this very thing. I'm in touch with my clientele, with young people who are very enthusiastic and beginning to rally their resources. We have been asleep in this country for years. We've been anesthetized by credit that we couldn't afford and by a media over all television that was not telling us the truth about anything. We have really been anesthetized. As I said on your show the last time, we are now coming out of our coma. We are waking up. And I think we're going to mobilize ourselves and form a third party that at the very least will change the direction of the other parties.
We shall see. Let's go to some of the phone calls west of the Rockies. We've got Vani in Maui in Hawaii. Hi, Vani.
Hey, aloha.
You too.
Gosh, George, great to talk to you. I'm a new listener. I've discovered you about 4 months ago, and your show is fascinating.
I'm glad you're joining us. You know, we just built a studio, Vani, on the Big Island near Kona.
Really?
Yeah, so we'll be doing some shows out of there pretty soon.
Wow, that's great.
But go ahead.
Okay, Linda, hi.
Hi.
I should say aloha, Linda.
Aloha to you. Delightful to talk to someone from Hawaii.
So much. It's great to talk to you. And I have a question about, of course, Hawaii. I live on Maui.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering what you think about what's going on. I know that we've had the active volcano. We have the active volcano, of course, on the Big Island.
Kilauea.
Yeah.
Hello, boy, she's really acting up in the last couple of days. But I was wondering, Linda, do you have any feelings about how safe it is to live in Hawaii, especially, of course, Maui, because I live on Maui? And any feelings, any thoughts about what's going to happen, if anything's going to happen, as far as volcanic or tsunamis or, you know...
Give us some land questions. What do you think? Earth changes, Linda?
Yes. I've talked a lot about this on this show and on my online newsletter. We are very, sadly to say, in a very severe cycle of earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. I predicted something in my February newsletter that would happen in Japan in March. And, of course, we had a major earthquake and tsunami in Japan. There have been two volcanoes that have been erupting in Iceland and also in South America. And I feel that in Indonesia and those areas, and Sumatra, you are in this ring of fire area. Hawaiians are used to this because they live with volcanoes.
Sure.
Have historically. I don't have a way of targeting which of the Hawaiian islands or whether it's going to be Hawaii specifically. But I am very, very concerned about these things. I think there's going to be some big ones next year when Pluto exactly squares Uranus. More, I'm concerned about Northern California, as I said before, next spring. My personal feeling is, you have to make a decision for yourself whether you want to remain living in an area like this that is prone to these eruptions. But I am concerned that we are in a general high-level cycle.
Isn't it incredible, Linda, how everything seems to be topsy-turvy?
It is. It's just at every turn we look at this terrible famine in Somalia, which is a failed terrorist state.
29,000 children age 5 or under have died because of the famine out there. 29,000. And that's what they know.
We have the severe effects. You can argue about what caused it of global climate change and extremes. We're going to see more of this. Certain parts of the world are going to become uninhabitable due to severe heat and drought. The areas of the world that are desert areas to begin with, glacier water that they've depended on for thousands of years has essentially melted. There is an ongoing spin that India and China are the next great economies. China is going to be the next great power. Well, good luck. China is running out of water. You can't breathe the air there or see the sky. They are so polluted, and the Himalayas are losing their glaciers. It's a monumental thing. So that water that China has been, Yangtze and Yellow Rivers are beginning to dry up. And India is going to suffer severe consequences for the poor management of water over there. Taking water away from the farmers, from their ability to irrigate in order to make Pepsi Cola and Coca Cola. I mean, it's mind boggling.
Let's go to Ed in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, on the wild card line. Hey, Ed, go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Good morning, George and
Hi.
Linda.
Hello, Ed.
I had a simple question. There should be a psychic president and a psychic Congress, I think. Maybe the psychic party, Linda.
Yes.
I always thought the psychic, they should be like a psychic Supreme Court.
Well, at least they could tell us the future.
Right. Well, they can make honorable decisions, perhaps, and know the truth about things, you know, anyway. But my question is kind of double. I'm a Capricorn, but sometimes I'm a Sagittarius, and I never understood that. And another question, is there going to be a war against Israel by the Arab countries? Like in the Bible, in Ezekiel, it says it's going to happen. Does that hold water for the future, or does it not hold water at all?
Now, concerning the Middle Eastern countries, what is going on right now, as you have seen, is there are revolutions going on throughout the Middle East. And, of course, there's these terrible ethnic hatreds and everything of Israel that have been going on since Israel was formed. And they're very concerned about it. I do not necessarily see direct attacks on Israel. I just see an escalating danger from various revolutions, failed states, and troubled economies that are spreading through, as opposed to a real organized war against Israel at this time.
Do you see a war against Iran by anyone?
Well, everybody is worried about Iran, and for very good reason. It's Islamic state that hates the West and Israel and everything. It is not Iran's advantage to launch any kind of. What advantage would it be to them? Israel is armed with nuclear weapons. The United States has an unbelievable arsenal of nuclear weapons. That could be wiped off the face of the earth. I really don't think. But I think they are an ongoing sponsor of anti-Israeli terrorist activity.
Next up, let's go to Michelle Sioux Falls, South Dakota, east of the Rockies. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, George. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I would like to ask Linda, does she see or feel like there would be any disasters or crisis for the Midwest?
Well, yeah, there are already crises in the Midwest.
They don't stop.
Yes. I mean, from the massive, massive floods, the overflowing of rivers and floodings and monsoon-type rains to, in a sense, combined with severe heat and drought, just climate extremes. Which depending on where you are in the Midwest as to how hard it hits. But I think, yes, we are going to suffer ongoing extremes of climate during this long period of time, I think between now and the 2020s. But again, a lot of these things depended on the exact location where you're in. As you know, some places get hit hard and some adjacent town doesn't get hit at all. It's sort of like a tornado comes through and wipes out one area and doesn't touch the other area. So it's almost impossible for us to figure that out specifically.
I'm looking forward to 2012. I don't know about you, Linda.
Well, I am, because I think people are going to be coming, as I said, my favorite statement is they're coming out of their coma, and they're going to realize that we have to take our democracy back. We have to start formulating a new system to rebel against the people that have taken over our economy and our world and most of all our minds. And America has a tradition of saying, no, you can't do that. And it has been in asleep for a long time, and I think it's beginning to come out. I think we're really going to come out and say, we got to face the truth. Like this show, your show is so famous for this, George. is presenting people with truth, presenting people with facts and opinions that you don't necessarily hear on the mainstream media that has been anesthetizing people for years.
Let's go back to Hawaii. We're going to Kailua. Let's go to you, Jeff, on Coast to Coast. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, thank you, George, for accepting my call. Hey, listen, I'm going to have to change the kind of tone here. I disagree with Linda 110%.
Okay, tell us where.
Well, first of
everywhere.
All...
Everywhere.
Well, first of all, anybody can predict a slide when you're already in it. And anybody can predict an upslide when you're in it also. And also, for every George Soros, there is a Koch brothers. What I'm trying to say is, George, you've been mentioning on your show, don't you feel it in your stomach? Don't you feel it in your soul? Something's different.
Yes.
Something's changing. Something in America is not right. And I think everybody feels that. I don't think you have to be psychic to feel it. And I also don't think that you have to be an astrologer to feel it, whether Uranus is going to bump into Mars or Pluto or Pisces. What I'm trying to say is, Guy, I respect your caller, but what I'm trying to say is the world's in a pretty darn tough situation. And to predict landslides and volcano eruptions and heat in the Midwest or problems in Japan. And by the way, the Circle of Fire is in Indonesia, not in Hawaii. But what I'm trying to say is that I think we all have our senses heightened by the fact that the that all of our senses are being erupted, you know, our relationships, our ability to communicate, our ability to help other people, like you said about Somalia. You know, I just won $500 at a casino. I gave it to the Red Cross.
Good for you.
And I don't know where this money's going to go. I wish it would go to help these people, but how do you help people that, you know, you take a mother in Somalia that's had 8 kids and 6 of them have passed away and she's pregnant right now? How do you change habit? And I don't, I mean, I'm a Pisces, and I was in a class one day and they gave me my whole outlay and it was so true, it's not funny. But and I believe all that, but I don't believe that your guest can actually with any type of certainty tell people, so what's it going to be like in the Midwest? How is the weather going to be in Hawaii? Well, the thing is that the whole world's changing, in my opinion, and I will silence myself because I would like Linda's
Let's response. Get her comment. We've got about a minute and a half. Linda, go ahead.
Sure.
It's all yours.
Actually, we agree more than you think. No, I cannot be that precise about certain things. But I want to say to you, my book, What Next?, was published. It took me 3 years to write it in June of 2007. And just about everything that has played out in the past several years, I predicted in my book. Now, there's two ways I predict. One is to use astrology, which tells me the issues and themes that will arise in our lives. And the second one is to do the research. As you said, there's a lot of things that we should have seen coming. There are things that are obvious. So I did a lot of research as to what was going on in the economy, what was going on in the military-industrial complex, et cetera, which backed up what the planets were telling me. So it's not just enough to look at the planets. You have to do some on-the-ground research. No, I'm not a late comer to this. I've been talking about these things for years and years, well in advance of their actual occurrences. And I have my newsletter online will back that up, and also my book in the date that it was published.
That's the important thing. Linda, thank you so much for being on the program. Up next, when we come back on Coast to Coast AM, Dr. Charles Tart joins us as we talk about parapsychology and spiritualism right here on Coast to Coast AM.